Investiture of the Gods, Chapter 46.
How does this mystical combat actually work? Well, look at the three arrays they try to break. Windroar, Cold Ice, and Golden Light.
And the key players are, on one side, Taoist Randall, the Burning Lamp Taoist, leading the charge for the Jade Purity lineage, the Chanjiao. He's got his 12 big disciples with him.
And they're facing off against the Shang forces, led by Grand Tutor Wen, Wen Taishi, and these specialized array masters, the Teen Jones.
But here's the crucial thing to remember, something you need to keep in mind as we go through this. It's not just about winning battles.
No, what's the bigger picture?
It's like cosmic bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Every single person who dies in these arrays, no matter how important or insignificant they seem, their soul gets tagged.
Tagged.
Yeah, cataloged and sent straight to the Investiture of the Gods platform, the Fengxian Tai. They're filling slots in the new celestial order. It's grim.
Wow. So every casualty is basically predestined for a celestial government job.
Okay.
And that starts immediately, right? With the first array, the Windroar array.
Bing Kao's in. Exactly. The master here's Dong Qianjun comes riding in on an 8-forked deer, a couple big swords. Looks the part.
Okay, so the Jade Purity side, Randing side, needs to know what they're dealing with. Someone has to go in first, right? Sort of a test run.
Precisely. And this is where it gets
yeah,
ethically murky, maybe. Randing picks this general they just recruited, Fang Bai.
Fang Bai. And Randing's justification.
He basically says, it's already decided. Tian Shu Yi Ding, heaven's fixed number is set. Fate.
So he's saying a Fang Bai's death is fated anyway, so might as well use him to test the array. That's cold.
It's incredibly pragmatic from a certain cosmic viewpoint. It shields Randing from responsibility, you could argue.
Mm-hmm.
Fang Bai is described as this huge, terrifying warrior. You know, over 3 Zhang tall, red face, 4 eyes, big beard. A real hero figure.
But to Randing?
To Randing, he's just a common man. A Suzu Fan Fu. Useful for one thing only, it seems.
Because his mortal strength means nothing here.
Absolutely nothing. Fang Bai charges in, full of courage, but he has no idea about the infinite profound mystery inside. Dong Tianjun just shakes a black banner, and boom, black wind. 10,000 blades appear within it. Fang Bai is sliced into several sections, instantly.
Straight that. Yeah.
Zero chance. His failure proves the first rule. Mortal power is useless, and of course, his soul.
Straight to the Fengxian Terrace Recruitment Office. Got it. Brutal.
So, lesson learned. You can't just send in a tough guy. Now they need an expert with the right tools.
Enter Si Heng Taoist, the compassionate voyage Taoist. But before she fights, there's a conversation.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Si Heng actually tries to talk Dong Qianjun out of fighting. She brings up a prophecy from his own lineage master, the head of the Jijiao sect.
What did it say?
Something like, stay in your cave, read your scriptures. If you go west and fight, you're doomed. Basically, a direct warning not to get involved.
Wait, so the leader of Don Tianjun's own sect told them this whole thing was a bad idea, that they'd lose.
Exactly. It highlights the tragedy here. This isn't really Shang versus Zhu as much as it's Jade Purity versus Zhijiao, these two Taoist schools, using everyone else as, well, pawns.
Cannon fodder for a cosmic reorganization? Wow, could Don Tianjun listen?
Nope. Too committed, too angry. He dismisses the warning. Big mistake.
So Si Heng has to fight. And she knows what to expect now, the wind and blades thing. She brought something specific.
She did. The fixed wind pearl. Ding Feng Zhu.
A pearl that stops wind.
Apparently. It makes the black wind totally harmless. The array's main weapon is just neutralized.
So it really does just boil down to bringing the right magical gadget. Like, forget training. Just have the right artifact.
In these specific encounters.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. The artifact is key. Once the wind is dealt with, Si Heng uses her other tool. The pure lapis lazuli vase.
Okay, and how does that work?
It's pretty spectacular, actually. She has her helper, a yellow turban strongman, tip the vase over. A black vapor shoots out and just sucks Dong Tianjin right into it.
Sucks him into the vase?
Uh-huh. And later, when she pours the contents out, it's just his clothes and shoes.
What happened to her?
The text says his flesh and skin had turned to pus. Utterly obliterated inside the vase.
Jeez. Okay, that's a graphic. So, another one. Bites the dust, soul goes to the platform. First rule, bring a counter artifact. What's next? Array number 2.
The Cold Ice Array, Han Bing Zhen, led by Yuan Tianjun this time. And guess what?
They send in another test subject.
You got it. They learn mortal strength is useless, but maybe. Maybe some basic Taoist training is enough. So they send in Zhu Yihu, an acolyte, just a Taoist boy, disciple of Daojing Tianzhen.
Still feels like they're just sacrificing people to figure things out. Why not send the experts straight away?
Well, maybe they don't know exactly what counter is needed yet. Or maybe. Maybe every soul counts for that Feng Shintai roster. These minor figures are, perhaps, seen as acceptable losses for intel.
Okay, so the boy, Su Yihu, goes in. What happens?
Yuan Tianjun activates the array. And the description is intense. An ice mountain comes crashing down from above, like a sword mountain.
And from below.
Ice blocks shoot up like wolf teeth. It's a compression trap.
Oh, man. Caught between a rock and a hard place. Literally.
Exactly. The text says anyone caught is crushed into meat paste.
Well, yeah. I'm the boy.
Instantly pulverized. His master, Daojing Tianzin, is pretty upset. Those two disciples lost in two arrays. The cost is mounting. Even for the good guys.
Right. So that clarifies rule number two, maybe. Mortal power is useless, and basic Taoist training without a specific defense is also useless.
Precisely. It proves you can't just have some spiritual ability. You need a direct counter or an overwhelming defense, which leaves them to send in the real deal next.
Who's that?
Puxian Zenren, the universal goodness perfected person. And he doesn't go on offense.
Defense? How?
When the ice mountain falls, he just raises a finger.
Yeah.
A white light shoots out and blooms into this huge cloud, a celebration cloud, Pinyin, several Zhanghai.
A cloud stops an ice mountain.
Not just any cloud. It's described with eight corners, golden lamps hanging from each, pearls. It's like this ultimate defensive shield, pure mystical protection.
And the effect on the ice.
Beautifully simple, according to the source. The ice sees the golden lamps and just naturally dissolves. Poof. No impact.
Wow. So the array is completely useless against him.
Totally neutered. Puxian just waits it out for an hour, letting the array exhaust itself. Yun Tianjun tries to escape. Puxian nails him with the Wugu sword, a flying sword. Takes his head off right below the platform.
Ouch. Another one for the Feng Shen Terrace HR department.
Okay, two down. Three casualties for the winners, though. This is costly.
It is. And the third array we're looking at, the Golden Light Array, Jingguang Zen, takes the destruction up another notch.
How so? Who runs this one?
Jingguang Shengmu, the Golden Light Holy Mother. She rides a 5-spotted leopard colt. And the volunteer this time... Oh boy. Shazen.
Another volunteer. What's his deal?
He's fresh from Yuxi Palace, the Jade Purity headquarters. He insists on going. Says he came down specifically to break this array. He's got backing. He's got bravery.
But does he have the right gadget? That seems to be the only question that matters.
And the answer is a very quick, very final no. Jingguang Shengmu leads him to a platform. There are 21 poles with mirrors on them, covered up at first.
Mirrors, okay.
She pulls a rope, unveils the mirrors, lets go. The text says bright thunder sounds, the mirrors spin, and they shoot out this intense golden light.
And yells in Jen, what does the light do? It doesn't crush him. It doesn't turn him to pus. It hits him, and he's just gone.
Vaporized.
Vaporized, like completely.
That's what the source says. Chilling phrase. His robe and body shadow no trace. Total annihilation.
Whoa. That's terrifying. So even being vaporized, does the soul still...
Even from total erasure, the soul still reports for duty at the Feng Shen Terrace. The cosmic bureaucracy is inescapable.
Okay, that escalation is intense, cut up, turned to pus, vaporized. What happens right after Xiao Zhen disappears?
It's a great cliffhanger moment in the text. Randing sees this horrifying outcome and immediately orders his top disciple, Guang Chengzi, to go in next. The story just cuts off there, leaving you wondering if even he can handle it.
The Gold Light Array. It's run by Jingguang Shengmu, the Gold Light Holy Mother. She challenges Guang Chengzi. And her setup is 21 banner poles, right? And mirrors that shoot out actual gold light and thunder. Sounds like pure energy assault.
It absolutely is overwhelming energy. And Guang Chengzi's response, it's not about matching force with force. It's about total control. He uses the 8 trigrams immortal robe, the Bagua Shanyi, wraps himself up completely, head, body, everything.
Wow.
And for a full hour, the source says that intense gold light, the thunder, it just couldn't touch him.
An hour. Just standing there. That's more than defense. That's a statement of superiority.
Definitely. He's basically immune inside this bubble.
So after showing he can withstand it, how does he actually break the array?
He needs to attack, right? He uses the heaven overturning seal, the Fantian Yin. Yes, and the robe is key here. It provides total concealment. The array relies on, you know, visual targeting and this massive external energy assault. By hiding completely, Guan Shengzi makes the array's whole mechanism kind of useless. He gains total surprise.
Ah, okay. So he attacks from within his defense. The array isn't expecting that.
Precisely. He deploys the seal from under the robe.
And the impact. What does the heaven overturning seal do?
It's immediate and devastating. First strike takes out the infrastructure. 19 of the 21 mirrors, gone. Just like that.
19. In one go.
One go. The second strike hits Jin Guangsheng Mu directly on the crown of her head. Kills her instantly. Her soul goes straight to the investiture platform. It's a brutal, efficient takedown. Shows a sheer power gap between the Kunlun artifacts and these array masters.
Okay, gold light array broken. Swiftly. So the focus immediately shifts, right? To the transforming blood array, the Huasu array. Wen Taishi is apparently desperate now, even ready to fight himself. But the array master, Sun Tianjun, he steps up, vows revenge.
He does, but before the main event, let's say, there's this tragic little episode.
Right, the hermit, Cao Kun from Wuyi Mountain.
Yeah, he shows up, seems well-meaning, but maybe a bit naive, overconfident. He actually scolds Sun Tianjun for using an evil array.
Oh, dear. You can sort of see where this is going.
It goes badly, quickly. Cao Kun completely underestimates the array. Sun Tianjun just throws a handful of black sand, the Heisha.
And this isn't just, like, gritty sand. It's something else entirely.
Oh, absolutely. It's lethal. The source description is what is graphic.
Give us the quote again, because it really paints a picture of what they're up against.
It's chilling. Keiyu tosu, basically meaning the sand touches his robes and body and instantly turns him into blood.
Transforms him.
Into liquid red covering the ground. It's immediate dissolution. It really highlights the visceral horror of some of these powers. This isn't just divine light. It's corruption magic.
Yeah, that's intense. It makes the stakes incredibly clear. Failure isn't just defeat. It's oblivion.
Exactly. And Kyokun's horrific end sets the stage perfectly for the real counterattack.
Which comes from Tai Zenren, a real Kunlun heavyweight.
Mm-mm. And his entrance immediately signals he's on a different level. He doesn't just walk in.
What does he do?
He enters stepping on two self-manifested green lotuses, glowing.
Lotuses. Okay. Symbolism alert. Purity, divine power.
Right. It's a clear sign. This isn't just human fighting human anymore. This is divinity confronting something. Unclean.
So Tai Zenren knows the main threat is the black sand. How does he counter it?
He's prepared. Before Sun Tianjun even makes a move, Tai manifests this protective cloud above his head. It's described as multicolored, swirling, a kingyin. Think of it as like pure heavenly energy forming a shield, an absolute counter.
So what happens when Sun Tianjun throws the sand? The same sand that just melted Kyokun.
He throws it twice, actually. First a handful, then in desperation, a whole peck of sand. All he has. Nothing. Yeah. The Kingyin just neutralizes it. The source uses this great analogy. The sand dissolves against the cloud like snow meeting raging flames.
Wow. So the divine protection just burns away the corrupting agent.
Completely impotent against it. It shows that raw lethal force like the black sand just can't touch protection derived from a higher divine source.
Right.
That's the Kunlun advantage.
Okay, superiority established. Sun Tianjun must realize he's beaten. Does he try to run?
He does. It tries to flee the array, but that just gives Tai Zenren his opening.
For the finishing move.
Yes, the capture. He deploys the Nine Dragon Divine Fire Cover. The Julong Shenhou Zhao traps Sun Tianjun inside.
Nine Dragon Divine Fire Cover. Sounds ominous.
It is. Tai claps his hands and nine fire dragons appear, wrap around the cover, and just incinerate Sun Tianjun. Ashes.
Another soul straight to the investiture platform.
And the eighth array is broken.
Eight defeats out of 10. The pressure on Wen Taishi must be immense.
It is. And the aftermath really shows his state of mind. He runs into Huanlong Zenren, another Kunlun immortal.
Awkward.
Yeah, who basically reminds him, hey, we agreed 10 fights. Rubbing it in almost.
Ouch. So Wen Taishi goes back to his camp.
Utterly defeated. The text says, tears flowing like rain. It's not just tactical loss anymore. It's deep personal shame and grief. He knows he's failing.
And this breakdown leads to the big strategic change.
It has to. He sees the array strategy just isn't working. These formations, even the powerful ones, are being systematically dismantled by the Kunlun masters and their artifacts. Mm. So he dismisses the last four array masters, tells them to go home, essentially.
Wow. Abandons the whole strategy.
Abandons the defensive strategy, yes. He realizes the only chance is to bring in someone with overwhelming individual power to go on the offensive.
And that someone is Zhao Gongming from Luofu Cave, Yimai Mountain.
The one he probably should have called much earlier.
So Wen Taishi makes this urgent journey to Yimai Mountain, uses his magical Kailan steed.
Right, gets there quickly, and he basically throws himself at Zhao Gongming's mercy. Confesses he's completely out of options, needs help desperately.
How does Zhao Gongming react? Is he sympathetic?
Not immediately. He actually scolds Wen Taishi first. calls him foolish for waiting so long, letting eight masters die before asking.
Ah, so there's pride involved. Zhao Gongming feels slighted.
Immensely proud, yes. He clearly thinks he should have been the first call, but despite the scolding, he understands the situation is critical. He agrees to come.
Okay, so the champion is activated. And his arrival is meant to be dramatic, right? Sets the tone.
Absolutely. Even his journey there establishes his power. He's traveling, sees this ferocious black tiger.
And he needs a mount.
He needs a mount, decides this tiger will do nicely.
How does he persuade the tiger?
Effortlessly, that's the point. Walks up to it, pins it to the ground with just two fingers.
Two fingers. On a massive tiger.
Yep. Then he fastens a silk cord, pats its head, applies a talisman, and boom, the tiger is subdued and empowered, given the magic of wind and cloud for fast travel.
Okay, so he doesn't just tame it, he enhances it. That's a statement.
He arrives at Wen Taishi's camp, riding this magnificent, newly enchanted tiger, just radiating power. But the reunion, the planning, it gets cut short.
By what?
He sees something appalling. He looks towards Jiang Ziya's command tent, and hanging there is Zhao Jiang.
Zhao Jiang, one of the original Array Masters, the one defeated earlier.
Yes, hung up like a trophy. A deliberate public humiliation by Jiang Ziya's forces.
Oh, that changes everything?
Completely. It crosses a line. Zhao Gongming is instantly enraged. This isn't strategy anymore.
It's personal.
Deeply personal. He declares it an insult to their entire lineage, their honor. And he vows immediate revenge, not just to win, but to capture an enemy general and hang them in retaliation.